episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
We apologize to anyone listening to the show for noises of drinking, cigarette lighters, and cats meowing. We also have to do our welcome to country, which was the now mandatory in Australia. So here we go. We, the people in Truth Meets, humbly apologize for being on the land of Australia. We give thanks to the Wairarapa tribe and the Bank of International Settlements and the United Nations, the true owners of this land, and humbly apologize most sincerely for anything that we may or may not have done and our color of our skin, if it's not the right color. I'm not sure which one, but whatever color we should be, we apologize for not being that color. Thank you, and on with the show.
Thank you very much, Ken. Very good introduction to the Rick and Beat. I keep doing this now. When you do three, four different shows off the top of your head, it's very difficult to remember off the top of your head what show you're on. And I keep saying Rick and Rollo on this one, and you'll hear me on the Rick and Rollo show saying Be Told consistently, and Fakeologist, and possibly on Bongversations. That's four shows that I'm on regularly. And that's the way it is, he says, having a sip of beer. JF1, bad luck. Very nice. Cooper's dry, no sponsors. No sponsorship, yes, but let's hope it happens. Now, one of the first things I want to talk about tonight on Be Told episode number, here we go again, was 46, I think, last time, or was it 45? This might be episode 46. I better check. Didn't even see, there's no preparation on any of these shows. No preparation whatsoever. He says, looking, getting rid of old things. Blah, 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 blah. Let's have a look here. Here we go. Episode number 47. Can you? How are you? Episode number 47. Born of Frustration was the last one. I thought it was a good show and a fantastic theme to the end song, Born of Frustration. If you listen to the show, you've got to watch the video from 1991 and see all the amazing stuff in it. I guarantee it. But anyway, back to this show, which is episode number 47, which is number 11. Cat food. If you own a cat in this country, you are given huge amounts of choice when you go to pick up your cat food. Now, yes, you do, but when you bring that food home, your cat these days, and I have this conversation on many occasions when I'm standing trying to work out which one is of A, affordable, and B, this cat will eat. And this is a normal conversation, but I've suggested that the food that they're using, a lot of it's coming from Thailand, and you know what they do in Thailand with old fish. What they do is they spray it, because you see a lot of outdoor markets with ice, which is another thing you don't want down your gullet. if it's tap water in Thailand. And loads of beautiful fish outside restaurants, and it's, you know, and oysters and stuff like that. Well, they spray it with a kind of formaldehyde to make it last 3 days, even, you know, out in the blazing sun, that will still look as fresh as it was caught that morning. Now, I suggest that the fish they don't sell is just getting bought up and dumped in these pet food companies, like they do in America. You've heard about American pet food, and it's absolutely disgusting what they do. They basically, to get the meat, they just go to grocery stores and everywhere like that that have got expired meat, and throw the whole lot, including the plastic containers, into this big mixing thing and mix it all up. So you're not only, the cats are getting God knows what, no wonder they're all dying of tumours and bits and pieces, but the food regulation levels in America for pet food, you wouldn't feed it to condemned prisoners. You wouldn't. It'd be illegal. So watch out for what you're feeding your cats and dogs. And I notice that most good dog owners that I see, like Rollo's one, they actually spend a lot of time cooking up rice and chicken, and very good quality chicken as well, to make their food for their dogs. Cats, they don't have the choice, so they're actually extremely fussy, and they are turning their noses up at a lot of the crap. But what I've noticed most of all, and this is one of my top conversations, I always say, have you ever seen your cat staring at spinach or courgettes or green beans lovingly? I've had cats that I can remember since I was probably from 3 or 4 years of age. So that's 56 years, 57 years now. I understand cats. I have never seen a cat go into the garden and start eating courgettes, spinach, or green beans. Yet the food that my cat's eating at the moment, Purina Fancy Feast, and with Inspirations, salmon, spinach, courgette, and green beans. Now, one, you're listening to Be Told. Be Told.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
The Be Told episode number 47. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? All the way from the winner is the mid-north coast, New South Wales, where it is absolutely fucking pissing down. Anyway, back to cat food, so I don't lose my train of thought. So this, what they're doing, the advertisers, they're actually not appealing to the cat. They're appealing to the buyers of the food, because they go, well, that's nice. I wouldn't mind having salmon, courgettes, spinach, and green beans for dinner tonight. The cat doesn't want that, though, let me tell you. No. They want mice, lizards, birds, if they were bigger, humans, and they will eat kangaroo meat, which is another thing you've got to watch out for over here, because the kangaroo meat's plentiful, and they're hopping about. I've got giant mice hopping about, not outside my house yet, but they probably do come hopping about. I've never seen one yet, but there was a cow walking past the other day, apparently. But with the kangaroo meat, they're adding this red, because the kangaroo meat actually doesn't come out as red as what they'd like. It's more of a different colour. So they add red food colouring, which is a lot of cheap butchers do too with your meat. They're spraying your meat with a food colouring to make it look more appealing to you. But this new thing with cat food, they literally have got the most, it's looked like they've gone to a really good restaurant in France and looked at the menu and put that on their ingredients for their cat food. They're appealing to the buyer, not the cat. Yet my cat loves these things. They are the more expensive ones. But I just noticed how pathetic, you know, what they're doing. This is the other thing, the packaging conspiracy. What they do is they spray with chips and, you know, other, you know, cheese, all these stupid Cheezels and Cheetos and stuff like that. They're actually injecting a little bit of gas into the packet so it looks like it's full. When in actual fact, if you remove the gas and squeeze it up, you're getting a quarter of a packet of what you used to get. This has been going on for years. It's an illusion. And so if no better example to me is in New Zealand, and I remember this well, the peanut slab or the Whittaker's peanut slab chocolate, which was a, basically you'd hold it in your hand when you're about 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. It was a big block. Now it's a quarter of its size and it comes in a plastic container. Pumped Up, the Pumped Up Kicks. Good song. Interesting about, I heard about that song. Apparently Pumped Up Kicks was about, one of those, psychological operation shootings in America. I didn't realize that. I'm not playing it at the end of the show, I'll tell you now, but it was a great song. So cats, the pets are the most spoilt things. They've just, they named the other day in the, some, I was on Facebook, you know, just scrolling away, watching shorts and just absolutely bemused as I yell out to my son, get off the computer or get off your, stop staring at your phone. There I am doing exactly the same thing. And I mentioned that the suburb in Sydney, the Winnie Sydney, has now got the, it's got more dogs than children in per household. And I knew straight away, he says, opening the fridge and getting out of the bed, I knew exactly where they were talking about. And that is where I spent 40 years of my, 41 years this year of my life at Balmain. There are the biggest business there, to me, and most successful business are pet shops. They don't sell pets. They sell ridiculously expensive toys and accoutrements for your, you know, cat or dog. You've got no idea. These things are everywhere and they're very successful. And people, they've got these little tiny houses there compared to where I live. And even if they're a big house, they've got tiny little blocks where these poor animals are basically imprisoned unless the dog walker that they have to pay. And that's the other biggest business, dog walking. And years ago, someone came up with a very clever one, Mad Dogs, an Englishman, and it's an English guy and he's now franchised that and they're everywhere. There's, you know, lots of witty names about dog walkers. And my mother years ago said to me, she preempted that she was a very smart woman. She said, you should have a dog walking business, because she knew that I got on with dogs and I didn't own one, but I got on with them. And she was right, and I still could do that. I'd call it the doggy guard, because I did do bodyguard work years ago. And one of my first jobs, because you have to do it part of your license, is bodyguard work. And I was lucky. I was very lucky. I got trained for free, virtually, but from various different people I knew and will work for. But I had to look after cat. One day, a cat, because this, and I've talked about this on the Rick and Rollo show, no doubt, but people, this guy split up from his girlfriend and she was a bunny boiler type. And she said, I'm coming to kill the cat. And I'm telling you now, you do not take that threat lightly if it's a woman. They are the most cold-blooded of the male or female, the most cold-blooded is the female. They, killing to them is second nature. They bleed every month. They're used to it. It doesn't faze them. The worst serial killers over, not serial killers, were they serial killers? The worst murderesses or murderers here in Australia are women every time. Every time, particularly Kath something or other from the Hunter region, who sliced her husband up and was going to serve him to his children. Now, trust me on this one, these psychos are out there. They are, that's a real thing. Absolute lunatic. And she got caught and jailed. I think she's still alive. Look it up, you know, absolute psychopath. Now, this guy didn't muck around. He got in contact with the company I work for. And they sent me there to watch, to make sure his cat didn't get killed or eaten by the bunny boiler. And I spent 4 days, I think it was, or 3 days, 3 days with the condor. Good movie. Good movie. Sitting there watching videos, this guy had a huge collection of fantastic videos. Particularly the celebrity porn ones that he had. He said, "Oh, make sure you just sit there and watch that." And I had to watch the Pamela Anderson, et cetera, and a number of other famous women back in the day when celebrity porn was first coming out. Now it's actually, they actually deliberately put it out. And I do think that I wouldn't be surprised if Pammy and Tommy Lee deliberately put their one out as well. Although she lost her credit, she was the one whose career went down. His career went up thanks to that video. If you've seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Hmm.
Particularly the honking the horn of the boat they were on scene. Very entertaining. Very entertaining. But so I've looked after cats, and I would easily have a great job at business calling it the doggy guard and taking people's big dogs for a walk, because that's the problem, is finding people that can handle big dogs. Because most women can't, I know I sound misogynistic, but I'm 100% correct. If you want someone to come and look after, take two German shepherds for a walk, you got to have some strength if they decide to take off, and, you know, because the average female cannot handle two German shepherds. I could, and have done it before. Fantastic dogs. One of my favourite dogs ever, the German Shepherd. I got to work with one of the best back in the day, my old boss's dog, who was trained from a puppy to ride skateboards. He was in TV adverts. His name was McLeod, after the TV show with Dennis Weaver. See, great. My memory's fantastic. If I started to do a show early, my memory's fantastic. And this dog was military trained. So my old boss was in the English SAS and the New Zealand SAS. I reckon I'll put them up with the two best on the planet, the Special Forces. Absolutely fantastic. And he was a dog handler, so he trained this dog. I mean, honestly, you've got, when you meet a trained guard dog like this is a lot black, big, long black-haired German Shepherd, this dog will look after you better than any human, because it's particularly the males that want to fall asleep all the time. And what McLeod would do, and I was in a couple of dodgy places, and he'd said, I'll bring McLeod, come and give you a hand. And I was very grateful for that, let me just tell you now, particularly on one particular job. And what McLeod would do is I'd sit down, reading a book, you know, researching, reading Nexus magazines or New Dawns, etc. You know, conspiracy theorists in the 80s, registered then. And McLeod would come and sit next to me, but he put his big paw on my foot and he just put his head down. And it looked like he was sleeping, but the slightest movement, he was up, including one night when I was sitting there. It was in old police headquarters in Surry Hills called the Hat Factory for some reason. They'd been deserted and they were filming a TV show in there, Gary Sweet's cop show that he did, forget the name of it. And this was about 3 in the morning, and I was just sitting there and I noticed this cat very quietly at the very top of the driveway meandering along, and within 2 seconds this dog, all you heard was scratching and its long claws out. And this cat survived by probably a millisecond of being eaten and killed, because Rangi said he trained him with cats, the poor cats. Now, I'm a cat person, so I think that's terribly cruel. But I'll tell you a very interesting thing, too, about Special Forces types, and this, in particular this one. His wife told me the story after he died. And I'm not kidding. When these guys train to use something that I want to discuss too, you know, just eye contact on you, you will get a kind of reaction. And they are trained for many years, I guess. They've had the best, you know, if they're waiting to get somebody, how to hide without being seen. There's a very funny Monty Python gag out there about that. And his wife said that she'd often, you know, when they first going out together, she was a bit younger than him. It's like my ex was a bit younger than me. And he would just deliberately, he used to put her through the paces as well, and he'd just hide. And she'd walk in the room, you know, she'd bring the cup of tea back or the drink or whatever they wanted. And she'd look around and she could not find him, but he was in that room hiding and waiting, but just waiting for her to find him. She said that she could never find him. He just would, as fast as possible. And I seen him in action one day. We were on a job, on an outdoor job. I think it was on Heart to Heart, the TV show. And he was on one side of the road in the bush, and I was on the other side of the road and backing into bush. And every now and then I'd look up and I'd see him, you know, just looking at me. And then I'd almost blink and he'd disappear. And he was honing his skills and practicing. And she was telling me that what he would do was stalk cats at night in a very, this is in a suburb in Sydney with, you know, your average 250 square meter block houses. He would pick a cat and he'd chase it over fences or whatever and stalk cats. And that was how he used to keep his skills in check. And I have no doubt he used to do that because the guy's an absolute living legend. And if you want to read all about him, I think if you look up, I think it's called, I'll put it on a Be Told show notes. There's someone wrote a whole tribute to him after he passed away. And I tell you now, it's all entertaining, especially his special forces fighting skills and what the kind of lengths he'd go to, very funny and not very hygienic, to win a fight. But he was one of my most incredible, wouldn't it be a mentor back in the 80s? I think he was, absolutely. And I very much miss him to this very day. He's now been gone since 96. So it was, the 90s, not the 80s. But what a man, what a legend. And you can actually read about him and Fight Time. It's called Fight Times, Rangi Nakora. And if you Google it, you should be able to find it. And it's by a guy called Tank, who was a special forces type trainer. But it's very funny. You see a lot of photos of him with Tina Turner and big stars. If you can find the link with the photos still in there, Fight Times, that's FIGHTTIMES. Really interesting guy. And the stories of his friends and his at the funeral and the anecdotes I've heard over the years, I totally believe every one of them. He lived above, and he was a great stuntman of the highest magnitude, trained by one of the best, who just, Grant Page, who sadly passed away not more than 3 minutes from my door last year or the year before. He just crashed into a tree on his way home. Now, was he vaccinated? A few people that know him think he might have been. And he died suddenly and went into a tree. A stunt that he could have pulled off with blindfolded and on fire with dynamite in the back of his car and most of his stunts he did. This is Grant Page. Look him up. Australia's greatest stuntman. And my boss was trained by him. And He was excellent as well. A very good stuntman. Fantastic days those were in the film industry. I never appreciated it till now when I look back on how interesting my life was back then to how dull it is now. But you got to have your memories. But yeah, so cat food. What cat looks for carrots and pumpkin in the garden and eats them? None of them. I'll put money on it. Unless you covered that carrot with blood from whatever source and put dead birds all around it, that may go near the carrot. But cat food now is marketed to humans that are buying it, and I'm a sucker there. But she eats it: salmon, spinach, courgettes, and green beans. Bullshit. But so there's very little of those things. It's mainly the salmon. But anyway, in the packet, there's hardly any. I have to give her two of these things. I need another cat, though, because I discovered there's a lizard in the house. When I'm talking about lizards, they're not the biggest, the huge. I've got blue tongues under my stairs, too. But these are about, 5 to 8 inches long, zooming around. Now coming into my house because I've fed the ones out the front and they've telepathically said to the ones out the back, this guy is a sucker and he's got cat food inside. Get in there and eat it. So I've just had to chase one out. Better than the snakes, though. I'll just say that. Better than the snakes. Now I'm going to mute and I'll come back with a completely different topic, be told. And he's back again. In 2 seconds. How do you do that? My youngest son is in Japan at the moment, having a fantastic holiday. He's got another month before he goes back to uni. They have so many holidays. I had no idea. I would have, if I was allowed to or bother to keep studying, I would have loved university if I'd realised that it was only basically three short terms during the year and then it was like mainly holidays. Fantastic. And you're hanging out with people your own age and being pushed into this exclusivity thing that you're better than everyone else. I know that much. But anyway, he sent me a couple. They got Shanghai to Shanghai, great song by Nazareth, a band that I've been listening to since 1976. And I would say weekly listening to some of their songs, never get sick of them. Dan McCafferty, I would put him up with the greatest vocalists ever for hard rock. That guy is just a fucking, is he dead? I think he's dead. Is he dead? I think he is. Anyway, he was Shanghai to Shanghai due to a weather event or whatever. Anyway, sent some photos and he said how boring the place looked. But I said, just don't say anything nasty about the Chinese government. So we started saying positive things and he jokingly said he had a milkshake got knocked on the hotel door for no reason after I said that how wonderful and attractive the president of China is and how we need to... I actually do agree with some of the policies of China there. This is not controversially, I've never been there, but I like the safety issue that if you're an old person, you can walk around the streets at night and you're not going to get robbed because, as my son said, there's a fucking camera every, just like Melbourne, actually, the People's Republic of Melbourne and London, the People's Republic of London. He reckons there's eight cameras. Every time you look around, you can count eight cameras. Now, this is what the future is. You're going into technocracy. It might seem nice at the moment, but you're listening to Beethoven 47.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Beethoven 47 on, no, I haven't even said the date. Ken, why didn't you say the date before? Anyway, the date today would be the 18th of January 2026. 18th, can you believe it? So that's, we got 9/11 there. We've got it's the 18th today. That's 1 and 8. And episode number 47, 9/11. There you go. Coincidence? I don't think so. It is a coincidence. Anyway, yeah, so my son sent me the photos of China, People's Republic of China, Shanghai. And when he out of his window, apart from all the smog, and he goes, oh, it's really foggy here, Dad. And I said, I don't think that's fog, son. I don't think that's fog. And it would have been what you call pollution. Which most Asian countries seem to have. Well, is it, I don't know, just like you go to Singapore and places like that even, there's this, or Thailand even, there's this heavy kind of thick kind of moistury kind of foggy kind of atmosphere in the big cities. It's fog, I would say. I mean, sorry, smog with a combination of fog. But as far as you could see in this one picture he sent were cranes. And this is the C-R-A-N-E-S, cranes that lift things, not the bird, as Jollo joked last night on the Rick and Rollo show. As far as you could see, and I'm talking about like in one picture, you could see like 10 to 15 cranes going off in the distance through the smog. So the smog, the pollution must be sit higher than the cranes because you can definitely see them. But it was very smoggy looking. Now, that means they are building huge apartments. That's what it is, and infrastructure. Now, so China is still building. If no matter what anyone says about China slowing down, if you see cranes are an indication of building. They cost so much, they do not put them up unless you're going to do something. And at one stage, when I was in the building industry, the winner is Sydney, there were a handful in the whole of the CBD. Now, wherever you look, even in Balmain as you're driving along, it's apartments getting built and they're doing the United Nations 2030 agenda. It's into the cities, out of the regions. And the farming's going to be done by big factory farming where it's going to be crap poison, and the farms, the agriculture and the land is just going to be emptied, just like they did to England. England's a great model for the New World Order. It just, again, I mentioned this, I think, on the last show, but that show with Tony, is it not Tony Martin, Tony, whatever his name is, from Blackadder, Baldrick. You can see when he goes around to old areas, they're looking at evidence of where there were villages, et cetera, et cetera. They were all forced into, and you go to, if you've been to England, you'll see it. Really, really congested cities, but miles and miles of empty land, all owned by the lords and the elites and the royal family. Guaranteed. Or the Vatican. Is it the Vatican or the City of London that run everything? I'd say split them in the middle. It's those two. And then the biggest control is in India somewhere. And they're high in the Himalayas. But guaranteed. And I'm just looking at a cosmic voice issue of Jesus gives the new Lord's Prayer from Jupiter. This is the July, August 1962 issue of the Theosophist magazine. Aetherius Society, it's Aetherius, speaks to Earth, 1962. It's Mars Sector 6, Operation Starlight in Switzerland. The Christmas message, the Master Aetherius from, they're repeating stuff that was sent to them from Mars Sector 6. Or Mars Sector 8 in this case. But, it's a thing. It's a thing about the Theosophists owning things. Why was I talking about the Theosophists and China at the same time? But anyway, going back to the infrastructure and building, and the United Nations, and who's running things, yes, it is. The Theosophists have got a lot to do with stuff. Again, they are now, just by coincidence, and I've been on about this, I was saying everything adds up to 9, saying 2GB, et cetera, last week, but no, what I meant was their frequency, 873, 954, et cetera, all add up to 18 or 9. That every frequency of Australia's AM radio adds up to 9. Their station numbers add up to 11 usually. So you got your 911 there. There's something to do with this frequency thing. Now, the Theosophist station 2GB, again, I added those numbers up, or letters into numbers, and you got 11. And if you do it properly. They're now owned by channel, what number? Number nine. Channel 9, basically all your news when you're driving along or listening to different shows, it comes from the same channel nine. So in Sydney, we had, the ABC, which is your twin towers. And then you had channel 9, the very first commercial channel. And then number 7, which is another very important one, of course. And number 10, which is the X. And you'll see these logos going back in the 50s. Why do they use these numbers? Because the subconscious is what's running you. And as Jung said, young girl, keep out of me. That's that one, Jung. Jung said that it's the subconscious, the language of the subconscious is what's controlling you. And I just keep repeating myself on the Be Told shows, but that's the most important thing you need to know. These symbols that when you're driving along and you've got that caravan in front of you with New Age caravans with that same logo, and its latest version, its latest caravan is called the Owl. There's a big owl on the back of it. I'm telling you, caravans and cars and even luggage compartments on tops of cars, fuel, T-H-U-L-E, look them up. Why is this so? It's because you're being controlled. They've kept you in this La La Land of the subconscious. Your subconscious understands those symbols. You don't often, unless you listen to the show and I explain it to you what you're seeing. Then you can wake up to an extent and see and understand each symbol that goes past is actually controlling your subconscious, which is what dictates you. And it's what you're using to drive most of the time. He says, having some more beer. Fantastic. Nothing better than doing a show and having a drink. JF1, are you out there? I get probably about 8 to 9,000 emails a day from him, and usually it's some very interesting stuff, particularly the price of tuna in Canada. always interested in that. But he's picking up on interesting things. 10 out of 10 to Software. I just assume her name's Sophie. That's what she uses. And she sent a fantastic thing about, which I will be talking about tonight, of depopulation via the ABC TV documentary that's out at the moment. I'll find it for you actually and tell you about it. Very interesting. And doesn't surprise me that all of a sudden the ABC is telling some truth, because you're over here or you're in England and soon to be America, I would hazard a guess. The net censorship and what's coming is just fucking unbelievable. It's on its way. That's why you get a welcome to country now on the beginning of each Be Told. And we apologize for being whatever color we are. Now, this is so Ab did a show on this particular subject. He wasn't rude to her this time. He's normally just he's slightly ignores some of her stuff she's been sending, I do believe. There we go here. Beep, 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 beep. So this documentary's called Black Swans, The Population Bomb. It's a TV show on the ABC, which if you go on to ABC, there's an ABC website. You could probably watch this for free if you're out there, wherever you are. And of course, I knew that they were going to bring up Ehrlich, you know, the Ehrlich or Ehrlich, whatever his name is, that Alan Watt, ding, 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 used to go on and on about. Now, when I saw this thing, and I think she's a listener to the Cutting Through the Matrix, so she would know that Ab had never listened to any of those shows and actually complained about his boring voice many times. Until he worked out because he's only a junior conspiracy theorist, 2012. That's 14 years this year, junior conspiracy theorist. He's got a lot to catch up on. And I would just suggest just going back and just pressing play on any Cutting Through the Matrix from 2006 and coming up to speed. Because this population thing, everything that was in it, he had already gone on about, guaranteed. But I'll give you one of the quotes from, and it'd be a Club of Rome type that said this. This is probably from the 50s or 60s. This is in quotation marks. It follows that in countries where where contraception is used, a realistic proposal for a government policy of lowering the birth rate reads like a catalogue of horrors. Oh no, maybe the guy in the show, the host, was saying this. This is what they were saying that they're going to have to do. Squeeze consumers through taxation and inflation, make housing very scarce by limiting construction. That's true. That they have this thing, as Alan Watt used to say about the making the word sprawl. Like instead of saying growth, they call it urban sprawl, like it's a giant spider or an octopus sprawling out, you know. That was a clever weasel word that Alan Watt picked up on. Ding, 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 ding. Three times. For inflation, scarce by limiting construction. Force wives and mothers to work outside the home to offset the inadequacy of the male wages. Yet provide few childcare facilities, although not in Minneapolis, and not if you're from a particular African country. Another big scam. Offset the inadequacy of male wages. Encourage migration to the cities by paying low wages in the country, which is true, unless you're working for the NDIS, and providing few rural jobs. Increase congestion in the cities by starving the transit system. Increase personal insecurity by encouraging conditions that produce unemployment, and by haphazard political arrests. Now, that's happening left, right, and centre. At the moment, the political arrests, what we're seeing now, what they will do, just like in COVID, is have social media showing you some random person being arrested for saying something online. They have not got the infrastructure, I'll talk about this later, about that, but they have not got the resources and the infrastructure to run out and arrest every single person that says something nasty about the people that are upsetting the Palestinians. They cannot possibly do it. They have not, you know, there's one cop car on at night time in this area, and we've got serious crime going on. They reckon that cop car has, and I'd speak to cops, you know, I had a couple of fantastic clients a few years ago that were, you know, he was a specialist police. She was a career policewoman from a generation, three generations of female policewoman. They'd been undercover cops. They were high-level cops. And they were telling me that the resources and their budgetary cuts is just phenomenal. And we've got serious crime going on. The other night, on Friday night, coming back from the Winner Is, I saw the blue flashing light behind me. I was thinking, please don't let that be me. But I've been good and had been speeding. And next thing you know, this unmarked, not unmarked, a white car with its lights off came flying past me with its, you know, with this cop in high pursuit. They were lucky to get chased, but they were unlucky to get chased because there's only one cop car from after a certain time to do all this policing of serious crime. And they know that, the criminals. They know how inadequate the police resources are. So this thing about mass arrests for saying things online is an absolute, it's a furphy. If you understand what furphy was, the water tank in the World War One where the soldiers used to gather around and talk. And that, it's kind of a, like the water cooler. It's an Australian colloquial term, furphy. Also a name of beer brand now. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, yeah, so there's no way they can actually come and do anything to you. But in the future, they can. And that's, guess what's going to be by your digital, your smartphone, your smart TV, your smart fridge. Yes, it's listening to you. Yes, it is. It's and actually turning photos of what's in there. Yes, they are, if you bought one. Just don't buy one. Just get a manual fridge. Is there such a thing, manual fridge? That's the term I'm going to use. Don't get a smart fridge because these things are reporting on your what you're buying and sending it to the for this whole Internet of Things where they're going to game you and make money off you somehow. It's been explained to me, but I still can't work that out, but that is the future. But in the future, you're going to say something about the Anthony Albanese, the Australia, Anthony Albanese, and your internet's going to get slowed down because you said he was a cunt. I would never say that, but in the future, or you're going on about whoever the new king's going to be, or, you know, the new president or whatever of China, the world police coming. It's coming. And if you, anyone that would doubt that now is, what would you call a useless eating imbecile? But this is what's on its way, the smart future. And so if you've texted and stuff, and mate, they could do the thing which they've threatened about is use your previous history to make their opinions up on you. And God help anyone that's been on fakeholders.com or truthmeets.com or any online thing where you've been savagely saying what a Carmichael Hunt, insert name of global leader, is. And what the other way of social squeezing, I'm repeating myself here, but it's been said before, they'll target your family and make you isolated. And there's a really good, I think he's an ex-CIA guy who's online on about how they've already gamed 2026. This is on Facebook. I saw it. Well, someone sent it to me and I shared it on the Rick and Rollo recommended podcast, no, on the conspiracy site. Highly recommend the Rick and Rollo Discord. That's where I do all post. And there's, you know, we've got Resmuck Jeff, Martha, Johnny's Wrist, etc. all posting really good stuff. And Antipodean in New Zealand getting live reports of what's going on in New Zealand from him. That's the Discord Rick and Rollo site. Not, I don't sit there chatting away on it, but it's where I post stuff. Relevant stuff. Very good place. Very good place. And so, yeah, this guy was saying basically obvious things if you've listened to any of my shows. regurgitated stuff that I've picked up on over the last 43 years. Is it 43 years this year? I think it is, of being properly awake since reading the Carol Quigley, Nesta Webster, and or Patrick Wood, et cetera, et cetera, all those kind of guys, where they explain the technocracy that was coming. Jay Dyer's woken up a lot of people, because he actually, and you got to shout out to him for reading and putting out his globalist book series, where you are going to get the real information and find the common denominator of all of those guys. And that is basically, we're going to go into cannibalism, necrophilia, and before society can to collapse. And that's what's going to happen. And that's where probably someone was talking about what the ingredients are in certain burger places. It would not surprise me if there's something more than just beef product in there, guaranteed. But yeah, no, it is going to happen. What are you going to do about it? Well, you can talk to people, get offline and talk to people face-to-face. It's one of my recommendations. I do not spend any time looking at screens apart from when I'm doom scrolling on Facebook early in the morning when I wake up. I'm telling you, I am totally addicted to that. They know what you want to watch too, and they send you stuff. And even very interesting, I suspect it's Mr. E is on Facebook now. I think he's called himself Master X. I'd say it's him. Big guy. And he's got there's actually a photo of him. He's got and of course he got attacked by people analyzing his skull, saying it's like a Nathaniel skull. He's got a big forehead and he's six foot four or something. Big guy. I'm pretty sure that is actually him. You're listening to Be Told, episode number 47.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation,
or your preoccupation,
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Joel, that's episode number 47 of Be Told, on the 18th of January 2026. I normally do a bongversation on Sundays, but I think it's better to do one every 2 weeks or whatever. But that information is only for a few people, because it's just too over the top of most people's stuff that Dave's knocking out there. And it also probably doesn't interest many people. It's hard enough. Most people want transvestigation stuff, which he's done, pioneered, I do believe, with Jungle Surfer many, many years ago. So Dave and Jungle Surfer were knocking out stuff, you know, 12, 13 years ago, 14 years ago, and pioneered a lot of this high level of conspiracy theory, and that's the transgender agenda. Alan Watt's books, Transgender Agenda, you know, we're talking over 20 something, you know, at least 20 years ago, he was writing that, and probably earlier. But it's coming, and it's in the Bible. It's in the, what's his name? Plato, et cetera. They all say the same thing. The Masons, et cetera, et cetera. This two become one motif. And you saw that with the Twin Towers. That is the living giant symbol right in front of you. The two towers go down and one takes its place. The two become one. They do not want male or female. They want this kind of nether person. And that's the way it is, and the way it always was planned, and that's the way it's going now, particularly with the food ingredients and the plastics, et cetera, et cetera. I've shouted out that book, Slow Death by Robert Duck. That isn't, again, a book put out for the normies. That is a book put out for the semi-elites, again, while they want them, and that's not that much longer. Now, is this year going to be the year of a big cull? I don't know, but I'm telling you now, if you've been into this thing about frequencies and the dangers of them, and let me just tell you now, again, if you listen to these shows, you understand what I'm talking about. And I call it, I've deemed it the, it's not anti-Semitism, it's anti-somaticism, somatics. They're reversing the nice frequencies and putting up the dangerous ones. And there is nothing, or I'm getting besieged, I'll say, with guys roaming around the witty Sydney with their meters. And these are good meters. These aren't the crappy ones. And they're using the government recommended a level of EMFs to be safe. And these little tiny cell towers, they've got every fucking where. Paraphrasing the movie The Professional. These things are fucking everywhere. And these guys are roaming around and I've got them up and that's saying dangerous level of EMFs. Now they're turning the stuff up. Every time I talk to people in Sydney, they're all tired. Everyone's tired. Even I am, you know, during the day, I mean, I could just lie in bed till, and I have the last couple of days, till after midday. I'm out of the city and I go to areas literally not far from where I live and you cannot pick up any signal whatsoever. It's fantastic. But if you're in the CBD, and I'll tell you now, these things, and I, you know, because again, I was actively involved in the 5G fight back 2018, 2019. You know, speaking at places, you know, organizing and putting flyers out. This is just before COVID, and I'd say that that's why they rushed COVID in, because the success rates of this lawyer from Tasmania and in Australia of having towers pulled down was phenomenal. And what he was doing was a simple letter sent to the owner of the property, not the owner of the cell tower, and saying that I will take you to court, not the owner of the cell tower, for my sensitivity to EMFs, which I have, and I get headaches, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that mysteriously, that whole movement got absolutely disbanded because you weren't allowed to have meat in public for the COVID thing. It was just, you weren't allowed to hire a hall out, et cetera, et cetera. Everything got shut down. Deliberately done, 1,000,000%. Now, I'm watching. I'm talking about when I do the Bay Walk in Sydney, these new lights they've got around the Bay Walk that are now, and on the bottom of it says these are privately owned, nothing to do with the insert name of the local council. In this case, it's the Canada Bay Council. It says we do not own this. This is a private street light. In those street lights is your 5G transponder, which only works for, is it 20 metres or 50 metres or 100 metres? They don't work long distances. That's why there's no such thing. Starlink is a myth. 5G, the 1 millimetre, is it 1 millimetre? Yeah, 1 millimetre, cannot travel that far. You know, it's particularly out in the suborbital, whatever, above your head. They're just, I would say, weather balloons flying around with lights on the bottom of them. They cannot possibly age your, if they had huge ham type transponders on them, yes, they would work and you would be picking up signals from a big one, but not from the 1 millimeter. 1 millimeter cannot even go through a wall. It's what has to hitch on the back of a 3 or 4 millimeter wave, which is what your 4G is and your 5G. Your 3 and 4G and AM, much wider bandwidth. And what this 5G thing is, hitches on top of one of them signals to travel through walls. So you can still listen to the radio in a house with thick walls. If you've got 5G and you've got a house with copper roof, and I'm telling you now, I go to these rich people's houses and for some strange reason, they've got copper roofs now and copper product. Everything, probably painted their walls with copper paint. That's the only way you can mediate the microwave. Copper paint on your walls. It's a thing. Look it up. You can also get, and I highly recommend this, the guy that was is a German aircraft mechanic who was, he mitigates EMF damage. He's got a business. For $700 or $800, he provides, you can get It's like a mat that's made of plastic and aluminium or something or other, or silver lined. You roll that under your bed, and then you'll hang up what looks exactly like a mosquito net, which is also made of these things, and you form a Faraday cage, and you can sleep in peace if you're living if you've got a smart meter or et cetera, et cetera. Look them up. And I think worth buying. Matt Landman. Interesting. There's a new show called Landman out there. He's the biggest chemtrail and EMF, activist out there. A really interesting guy. Matt Landman. He has his Spero, S-P-E-R-O, which is Latin for safety or something, I do believe. Spero clothes, so you can buy silver line underpants to protect your nether regions for EMF damage. He says, now I don't need my nether, well, apart from going to the toilet, I'm old enough to not need them anymore, so I've got a 5G phone in my pocket microwaving my testicles right now. Guaranteed. But am I worried about it? No. Should I be? Possibly, yes. But I'm drinking what you'd need to do too, and I'll highly recommend this while I'm on my free platform, is food-grade bicarb soda and sprinkle that in your drinking water. It's a pinch of it every time you have a drink, and keep your body non-acidic. And an alkaline state, and that no cancer or what we would call a cell disruption will take place. It cannot feed itself on, it's an alkaline state. But these, again, are they turning the signals up? Yes, I do believe they are. Now, why would they be doing that? Is it causing a docile state? Yes, I do believe it does. Now, this isn't conspiracy theory here. I've been on about this since fucking 1982 when I was on reading about the Russian experiments into controlling like school children and things like that, where they had some kind of frequency device and they could turn it up and kids' behavior, they went much more calm. Now, there's a whole lot of science about this. Look it up. Look it up. Do your own research. But are they turning up the 5G in the city? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. It's a fact. And I can tell by, again, I'm repeating myself here, but I listen to AM radio when I'm there because I've always listened to AM radio. I can hardly pick it up in certain areas, particularly poor areas. I will say that there's a poor area I go to, which is a housing commission in Redfern. And when I pull up, you can hardly get any reception from an AM radio, which means they are turning up the microwave in that area for sure. So they're there 100%. Now, I'll mute for a little bit, and I'll come back with a completely different subject. This is crucial information out there, crucial information. And he's back. How did you know? You didn't know. Now, what else are we talking about? Let's check on. I've taken some little notes here. Oh, now, this is very interesting. Now, those of you aware about the vaccines, and the threats that they were, you know, going to cause all sorts of problems, blah, 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 blah. Now, there are so many people suddenly dying at the moment. It's not funny. And I just go by my clients saying, oh, if so-and-so, I've got a, you know, died suddenly in New Zealand on a holiday. So-and-so just, you know, and a lot of them are swimming. Now, swimming seems to be causing heart attacks. And now, is it the cold water or is it just the stress? But there's people getting drowning left, right, and center. Yes, we've got some wild weather here, but there's been quite a lot of drownings. I also see random cars pulled up on the side of the road with an ambulance next to them on a regular basis. Now, I'm seeing this more often than not. Now, if you tell somebody that you previously warned about this particular thing, like, oh, well, it's happening now. Honestly, you've never seen cognitive dissonance like this. They'll go, I don't want to know. Like, they literally look at you like, you can't say that. You know, particularly one of my children, or two of them actually, oh, that dad just likes to be different. You know, that I told you where he got that one from, his mother. And I'm just telling you the truth because they will tell me, oh, dad, did you know this person died? And I go, I bet you was vaccinated. I have to say that. So they're probably going to stop mentioning anything to me soon. But the cognitive dissonance of when you say the, you know, it's the athletes that are falling over having heart attacks, the bodybuilders, anyone that takes a little bit, puts more wear and tear in their heart, especially getting into cold water, swimming, that will do it. And we've got really cold temperatures of water here at the moment. And despite the fact that the Sydney Morning Herald put on the front cover the hottest year ever on record last year. Now, what a fucking load of bullshit. I've had my same winter doona on. Doona's another Australian term. It's a quilt. Oh no, I know when it's been really, 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 really hot, and it hasn't. We get a four days every now and then of quite hot temperatures. And this is summer, for fuck's sake. And now tonight, it's to me, it's like winter outside. It's like, well, not winter, but it's about 20, say 20-something degrees, and it's raining and cool. Mm. Not the coldest, sorry, not the hottest summer ever. It's not the, it never was, but Frank and I have been joking about that for a long time on Fakeologist shows. It's, you know, and saying it's the hottest this ever. It's, honestly, we've had the coolest, I would say, and wettest months ever where I am. It's never been consistently as wet as it is at the moment. And apparently this year it's going to be really bad. And we've had record flooding from where Rollo lives. And 260 mils or something came down in 2 hours or something in the Woi Woi area, where Spike Milligan used to write his books from. Woi Woi, Orange something Road, Woi Woi. I could have bought that house and turned it into a Spike Milligan shrine and been retired now. Did I do it? No. I have these great ideas. I just don't follow through with anything. But anyway, I'm happy. I'm happily single with a cat. And an empty house, because my one son's in Japan. My daughter's, and there's a person to speak highly of. This, she is tough as nails, this girl. She's been tramping, which is what New Zealand calls hiking, through bush and the South Island by herself and staying overnight and tramping, like little whatever. She had a wild pig come and open a bag up while she was asleep the other night, she was saying. Most people in New Zealand are terrified of wild pigs. It's the only dangerous creature we've got, apart from the gang members and other people on methamphetamines. But we got no dangerous creatures apart from wild pigs. They can be quite fierce. And there was a great movie over here in the 70s, was it? It was the 80s, when we were demonizing every fucking animal on the planet as being evil. The guy that directed most of the best... Russell Mulcahy directed great videos for Duran Duran, et cetera, and probably In Excess. He did a movie called Razorback. Very boring, very boring. But she's out there hiking by herself in really heavy bush, working in a bar, doing door work, you know, fighting off people. She is good looking and tough as nails. Great combination. Great combination. She is just an absolute champion. And my other son is a musicologist of the highest magnitude. All my fault. It's all he's interested in is talking about music. He has got my genes in him 100%. So I can't complain. I do try and complain. So, you know, you need to do something else. You can't make money out of talking about music. But I think he could have started doing a podcast. I'm going to encourage that in the future. I'm going to encourage it. So, where are we going to go from here? What were we just talking about? That interesting thing I was just about to talk about that just got off the top of my head. Cognitive dissonance, public, including my own children, they don't want to know. The public do not want to know that they were wrong and that you were right. They will absolutely switch off. It's a known science of when they're brainwashing people that... They're scared. Their internal subconscious will turn off. They don't want to get into trouble or even admit they were wrong. But it's a fact. It's a fact. Now, the population agenda thing that this on this ABC, this is old news. If you listen to, Alan Watt, ding, 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 or Jay Dyer, who was, again, a student of Alan Watt, if you could call him that. He was a regular listener. And when he read the book, Miles Copeland, who's the drummer the uncle or the father of Stuart Copeland from the Police. At the end of his book, which is used to train CIA operatives, he said, basically to paraphrase this, we don't give a fuck about despotic leaders as long as they're following the agenda of keeping the population down. That's in his book. And it's read on Jay Dyer's Globalist Book Leaders series on, and that one by Miles Copeland. So it's a fact. They want the population down. So yes, the vaccines are part of it. Yes, the 5G towers are part of it. Guaranteed. No arguments entered into. And the chemtrail or the three or four different types of reasons are spraying things above your skies. Stratospheric aerosol injection to increase the metallic particles and for communications in your 5G, etc., for sure. And blocking out the sun and the moon because you're getting a lot of your spiritual awakening via particularly the sun. And they want that. They often block out the sun on a particular day because they know there's a reason. There's a there. No arguments entered into. I hope to do, I think Dave J and I just do that subject for about three episodes and nothing else because he knows a lot about it and is very, very relevant. He's an expert. He really does know stuff about this technologies. So you're listening to Beatle 47.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Be told, episode 47 on the 18th of January, 2026. Yeah, and we're talking about all the various different things, particularly that are they culling people? Are they keeping people baffled and tired with turning the frequencies up? Yes, I guarantee they are. Guaranteed. Prove me wrong. I was also going to talk about the Panama deception because, you know, anyone that's been watching the news about Venezuela and Donald Trump going in there and arresting, the alleged bad guy that looks just like, not just like, but he has that kind of vibe of Saddam Hussein, another CIA trained and operative guaranteed. Panama Deception came out in the 80s and it was narrated by Elizabeth Montgomery, daughter of Robert Montgomery, film director. The host, the beautiful, absolutely stunning Samantha from Bewitched. And she narrated the documentary, won an Oscar, and then she died mysteriously of a fast-acting cancer shortly afterwards. Died still beautiful. I do think Barbara Eden's still going. And she's, you know, in the 90s now. She was the next most beautiful. I think I put Samantha as the sexiest. And then Barbara Eden, nicest body and still very good looking. Those hosts. Oh, these are shows that are still on TV. But anyway, the Panama Deception actually is very interesting because they talk about the military using advanced weaponry. And Roberto Duran, one of my favourite boxers from the certainly the 80s, maybe the 70s and 80s, he was there and he was saying, and he's quoted in there saying there was like cars cut in half with some kind of laser or heat weapon. They were seeing all sorts of weird things. Now, I would suggest that's a lot of truth in there for sure, and I do believe Panama and those areas were tied in with this United Fruit company that was Bernays had something to do with, totally run by CIA in big business. And interesting, that Bonita bananas were the only bananas you could get in New Zealand, a country 3 hours flight from Sydney, right? We have got the best bananas you've ever tasted. Now, I did not eat a banana in New Zealand because I thought they were disgusting. They're always brown and kind of off. They didn't have that technology they use now to transport them. So a banana in New Zealand were coming from the Bonita Banana Company, which is United Fruit, which you'll see in Panama Deception and these other areas where the Americans went in and took over. Oh, I've got the bluebird of happiness in my backyard at the moment. A little bluebird, a blue jay of some form. not a blue jay, but a beautiful little bird, completely blue, hopping around in my back. Fantastic. But yeah, so, Panama Deception, highly recommend that documentary. I haven't watched it since the 80s, so I can't actually explain it much about it, but I just remember, you know, being a, you know, a young conspiracy theorist, nodding away and going, oh, this is interesting, you know, tick, 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 tick. Highly recommended. Another thing, I'll talk about a recommended book, which I have not read properly, but I've had a good, very good friend of mine sent to me years ago, Space Aliens from the Pentagon by William R. Lyne, L-Y-N-E, 1993. Does the CIA write movie and TV scripts about aliens? Question mark. Did you know flying saucers are the best kept energy secret on Earth? Does the CIA control Hollywood and TV? Question mark. Have you been brainwashed? Question mark. Yes, 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 yes. And it's got a maze on the front cover and a all-seeing eye and a pentagram. Now, this is a really good book and it goes into really interesting stuff. I'm not going to read anything about it, but if you can out there, download that or get hold of it. Really interesting. I should actually read the whole thing so I can actually talk about it. But I used to pick it up and just go through it. I didn't quite get the gist of it, though. I just thought it meant that as there actual real aliens in the Pentagon. No, it's what it's meaning, that the Pentagon is controlling the whole alien narrative. They're not UFOs coming from other galaxies. These are between drones and electromagnetic craft that they've obviously got and had for a long time. It's explaining it, and that's why Hollywood controlled everything that you know about the aliens. But just remember, though, the alien motif, the grey, that's Aleister Crowley. That was his IWAS that came and dictated his his book via his, one of his wives or girlfriends in Egypt in 1920-something or other, is one of his big books. That sketch you did of IWAS is just straight out your alien grey, which apparently if you've seen that one, is it the American dollar bill? If you turn the colour down, or not colour, the contrast, it actually will form a head of this exact same entity. And are the aliens just demons? Yeah, I would say 100%. And that's what a lot of the right-wing QAnon are actually going on about. That is disinformation. That's there to make you not get into this subject, just think, oh, QAnon's behind it. Absolutely. You know, that QAnon is your disinformation, and all the people that are into it are actively spreading bullshit. A little bit of good information mixed in with a whole lot of garbage. And now, when we go out tonight, if I can share it, we're going to have a completely different kind of music than I normally play, but music I love. It's Mehdi sent me, who's furiously working away on the new theme tune to the Be Told show. I just have to get a couple of sound grabs to him and it'll be done. But, yeah, I highly recommend this Space Aliens from the Pentagon book. Highly recommend it, to Be Told. Also, Rhythms of Vision by Lawrence Blair with a foreword by Lowell Watson. That book is absolutely fantastic. I love the cover. Rhythms of Vision. It's got lots of interesting stuff in it. There's two amazing books. Now, I should go, and we're going to end with a bit of music from what's the name of this band, actually? Well, I'll have to tell you before I actually go out with it. If I can go out with it, because I've got to find the original clip, if that's possible. Here we go, library, live on air. Researching on his internet. I've got so much. I use for exercise a real mixture of weird music and all sorts of stuff to keep me interested in forgetting about what I'm doing, because exercise is so boring, really. But it's great to have music in the background. Oh, there's a great song too, called Pirate Radio by Genesis, an African guy in England. which I was going to go out, but he goes on about N-word in this outbreak, which is it just seems to there that cause dramas that they can seem to use it. You're not allowed to use it. Oh, you're hot right now by Bass Nectar remix, the Bass Nectar's remix, hot right now. Amp Live, whoever they were. Great song. I love that kind of really heavy kind of rappy kind of electronic-y kind of stuff. Fantastic. Great exercise music. Great exercise music. So when we go, we'll go out with that tune. And I'll be back. I could even do another one tomorrow because I'm trying to catch up. It's really hard to catch up. The Rick and Rollo show is knocking out show after show in the high 60s now. But again, I'll keep reiterating, all our old shows were done on fakeologist.com and the older ones, the Fakeologist Australia Roundtable on, well, they're now on Truth Meets, but we've done, and I've done 8 years for the stuff on Fakeologist, easily, maybe 9 years this year, I'd say. And I might even pop in there, but I think there's still people talking from last night, so maybe I won't. Maybe I won't. But anyway, thank you very much, everyone, and I'll speak to you maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. I've got plenty of things to say and plenty of notes. So just remember, be safe and be told. That's my latest. I'll just decide that then. Be safe and be told. You're meant to have a grab when you leave a show. Be safe and be told. Thank you very much, and we're going to go and hear Bass Nectar, 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Joel. Bye.
Put up a fight, just guard your grill. My regime hard to kill, only connect with